Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Oh, and the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan, not committing to Will Levis moving forward as starting quarterback this week. And as we discussed, Joe, kind of feels like he's out on Will Levis. We'll see. We'll see what decision he makes later this week and what that looks like. But it feels like that was a little bit of table setting yesterday for Mason Rudolph to be quarterback, which I know we're all really excited about to watch on Sunday. So Mason Rudolph-led Titans.
Get excited. What if we're wrong? What if this entire show is built on a bad premise?
I'm leaving the door open that I could be wrong.
I'm here for it, but I agree with you right now. It's hard to interpret that otherwise.
It is hard to interpret it otherwise. And look, even if it is Levis, these next three games, do we really believe it's going to be Levis next year? I said it earlier. Like, the idea of bringing all three of this stuff back with the front office, the coaching staff, and Levis as your quarterback next year, I mean, that's a real tough sell.
Even for the
most positive of positive Titan fan, that one would be a tough sell, I think, to me.
Yeah, that'd be a very tough sell. But I'll tell you this, though. This could be just a poll for Titans fans. What would you rather watch the last three games? Will Levis at quarterback or Mason Rudolph at quarterback? I don't care what Mason Rudolph does.
Yeah.
I don't care. He's a backup quarterback. Fine. I'm not saying Will Levis is any better than that either, but I would easily pick Levis.
I would too. Mainly because I don't really care to watch Mason Rudolph. Like, that's kind of my reasoning for it. But I think a lot of Titans fans' answers to that question right now would be, yeah, whatever quarterback will go lose the game. That's one I'll watch. And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well, I think then you're also picking Levis. Yeah. You're picking Levis because, no reason to watch Rudolph. You have a better chance of losing the games. And also, Levis is more interesting. He's more talented, so he makes some plays that are like, wow. And also, he's more likely to make the killer mistake.
He is. Rudolph does. I mean, I guess when you want to break it down.
Rudolph will throw some.
He'll throw some doozies as well. But like Levis.
Godly picks.
Like Levis, I think, gets the win for Miami, right? Because he started the game, even though it was Rudolph that came in and finished it.
Technically, right.
But they have won more games this year with Rudolph being the primary quarterback in those games than they have with Will Levis.
Right. I mean, the Two best them, win that fact. They had was Levis.
Yes.
Levis led, so. Yeah, Chip from Mount Juliet says, the season's gone. Let's see more of Levis. I mean, I just don't buy that at this point at 3-11, there's some huge difference in how you're affecting a locker room with, like, accountability. I think that's a fair thing to talk. We did talk about earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if this move is what we think is being telegraphed here, then I think it's a bigger picture of, yeah, moving on. And also, hey guys, again, I mean, I'm not saying Brian Callahan wants this message out there, but it is kind of the subtle message, which is if you really want to talk about why this season's so bad, you got to start here.
Yeah. I said this yesterday too, though. Like, if you're Amy Adams Strunk right now, the reasoning for keeping this group together, and I'm referring to the front office and the coaching staff as a whole, it's hard to find many of them other than just continuity. right? Like, that's your reason. Well, we believe in continuity. We've made a lot of changes around here the last couple of years, and we want to see this thing through, which is good, I guess, on premise. Like, to me, though, there's got to be more shown in the positive for you to just have continuity for the sake of continuity. And I don't think this group has done that. Like, they're 3-11. A lot of the moves that they've made this offseason have not worked out, which makes you question, okay, so what about this offseason? Are these moves that you make this offseason going to work out? I've not been impressed with Brian Callahan as coach. No, I'm not dooming him to just automatic failure either as a head coach, so I get that. But I'm just saying, it feels like if you're bringing this band back together with this front office and this coaching staff, what you're saying is, well, we know it hadn't been good. We know that there's really not very many positives to point to and speak of at all. I threw the question out there yesterday. If you're Callahan or if you're Carthon and Amy Adams Strunk asks you at the end of the year to explain why you should keep your job, I don't think the list of things you can point to is very long at that point. So this boils down to, well, we want to keep this thing going for the sake of continuity. And I guess my question is that a good enough reason to keep this thing going? Like, is as a Titans fan, is that something you're okay with? Well, we know it hadn't been very good, but we've made a lot of changes around here, and we can't just keep making changes.
No, like that. I mean, if that's it, then no, that's not at all good enough. I mean, the reason you do it is you think that they have done some good things and they have had some bad luck and took over a roster that was way nosediving because of the last guy who we'll talk about today, and you think they can do the job. That's why you do it. And I don't blame anybody who's saying, man, I don't see it. But
speaking of tough sales,
I believe that's gonna be the case. But real quick, I have to. There's a lot of the text line is very much like, yes, Levis just would rather watch that. Yeah. Someone said they'd rather watch Stilly. But Gover says, what if they play Rudolph because he is the veteran QB they're going to choose instead of signing $45 million Darnold Mayfield, et cetera? And I said, not sure if serious. If that's the choice, my goodness, are we going to have some excitement next year in Nashville, everybody? Get excited for the Tennessee Titans. Nah, I know that there's one, like, Pittsburgh guy who always calls stations like, Mason Rudolph, I tell you what, he Cracker Jack. No, he's not a starting quarterback. No.
I mean, if Mason Rudolph is your plan heading into the offseason, then it's time to clean house.
It is actually. I think that would actually trigger a very obscure bylaw in which you could fire the owner.
Yeah.
So actually, maybe I'd like that to happen.
So Mason.
Oh, Gover's saying he was being sarcastic. All right, Gover. All right, very funny.
Well, but
you and Big Joe.
The point is, though, on that front, like, I hear you. The veteran quarterback could be the way they decide to go here. I'd just be very interested to see who that is. Like, who is the veteran quarterback that is realistically available that you can get that comes in here and makes a significant difference one way or the other, right? Like, you know, as much as I joke about Jameis Winston, love me some Jameis Winston, like, Jameis Winston is not coming in here and you're winning a bunch of football games. It's just not happening. Like, he'll have some games where he'll throw for a bunch of yards, and he's going to throw about 20 interceptions if he's a starting quarterback the whole year.
Yeah, okay, well, if you get one like that, first of all, well, I mean, obviously if you trade for someone, you trade for someone. But, I mean, you need to be somewhat closer to being a winner to pay that kind of money to a quarterback, right? Like if you went and traded for Cousins in that contract, first of all, I'm sure he'd be thrilled. Oh, let me watch some film of that offensive line.
Yeah.
And Cousins, like Goff, is not mobile. If he doesn't have a clean pocket, it's not going to go well. So, you know, how much can you overturn or turn over everything else to get it to the point where you could be competitive in one offseason? You're going to have one hell of an offensive tackle in there somewhere ready to play.
Yeah.
At the least. Start there, and then there's a lot more after that.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get back in this conversation a little bit later. John Glennon will join us at 8 o'clock on the program today. Could a former Titans GM be on the move to the New York Jets? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is our 12 days of Christmas. I have a $100 gift card for a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa to give away, located at 9050 Carruthers Parkway in Franklin. You'll also be qualified to win the grand prize of a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 will win the $100 gift cards for a Moment's Peace. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexha, the New York Jets set to interview former Titans general manager John Robinson. I believe they've already completed an interview with Thomas Dimitroff. They are scheduled to interview John Robinson, and apparently will also interview Lewis Riddick from ESPN at some point.
He gets interviewed like every year, doesn't he?
He does. So I don't know exactly when the Riddick interview is coming. The New York Post put this out there that Robinson is scheduled to be interviewed at some point this week, and Riddick's interview could come later. But obviously they can't interview potential candidates on other teams right now with the season still underway, but you can interview guys that don't have jobs at the moment. So Robinson at least getting an interview with the New York Jets. What do you make of that, and what do you make of their potential interest in him? Should John Robinson have some interest in the New York Jets?
Well, I think that John, you know, this times out about right for John here. He's had it's more than 2 years now of getting paid to not work by Amy Adams.
Good for him.
Absolutely, you know. So, and I know maybe, you know, he's basically been just out of it completely. But really interesting, you know, does John Robinson actually get another chance? This is kind of, and it kind of relates to the Titans too, because, like, to me, if you move on from this front office, okay, you can go do the same thing, which is the thing that most people do, which is go find the number two at the successful franchise, or the number two or the number three, and, you know, and give that person a job, but you just did that. Again, you not saying you can't do it again, but should the NFL give GMs second chances more like they give coaches? Coaches get second and third chances. Should more veteran GMs who have had success get opportunities in the NFL? So I'll be very interested to see how serious the Jets are about John Robinson. And John Robinson, again, I've got the draft history up right here, and this is where, and this does affect Amy Armstrong's decisions now. I mean, those last few drafts were devastating to the Titans.
Yeah.
So how much does that count against him? How much does that count for the new guys here? How much can he overcome that and get his own next job?
There's a couple things I wonder about on that. There's no doubt about it. We've gone through the record ad nauseum of what the Titans are since they fired John Robinson. It's awful. That does not exonerate John Robinson from some of the decisions that were made at the end of the time here, right? Like the first round picks were awful, his last three. You traded A.J. Brown. So
there's that.
We've talked about this.
Kind of like a big deal.
The idea of John Robinson getting fired at the end of the last season he was here, okay. Like, we would have had a conversation about
with
the way that things were going.
A fair thing to discuss.
So, now, doing it when she did it, we've talked about that. We don't need to revisit old history at this point.
Idiotic.
Now, so all that's on his record. Like, his record in terms of win-loss as a GM, pretty darn good. It is what it is. They won division titles. They were in the playoffs, number one seed, all those things. But the way it ended is also a huge part of his resume. And if I'm the Jets, if I'm any other team interviewing John Robinson, I'm walking through that last part of his tenure here and be like, all right, well, what happened with these draft picks? You know, why in the world did you trade A.J. freaking Brown? The way it all, like, those are all huge concerns to me. I also wonder, and this is something with Vrabel too, like, if you're outside of this organization and outside of our bubble here and you're looking at the Titans – and everything that's gone on since they fired John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and how bad they are, how much does that help with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel right now? Like, if you're them looking for other jobs, and Vrabel's, I think, his own case, because I think he's going to get a job at some point. I'm not convinced that Robinson is, but we'll see. But, like, how much, if you're the Jets or anybody else interviewing John Robinson right now, do you look at it and say, man, look at those Titans and the way that they're operating without him and how bad it is. Maybe he starts to look a little bit better by comparison at that point.
Well, Vrabel does. I think it's very different. Vrabel does because it's like, see, look, I mean, there's a terrible roster and it continues to be. I don't know that – I mean, I think with Robinson, again, these guys will be like, well, gee – Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks, Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Raidens, on
sure.
and on and
yeah.
on. This is the roster I inherited. So I don't know. I don't know that it helps Robinson a lot. The more it helps him. But, like, right now, I mean, this is still – there are still absolutely after effects of Robinson's tenure that are affecting this roster. With Vrabel, though, I think for sure. It's just like, yeah, he left a roster that was – going that was nosediving and look at it, it's even worse now, and yeah, and their coaching is worse, etc.
The thing is, though, I don't think the roster is worse now than it was his last year here.
Well, yeah, maybe not, but yeah,
I know what you're saying, but I'm just like,
so in other words, you think they've done a great job. Okay, put Robbie Stanley on the record.
Well, I'm sure that's what it is. Look, I'm just saying, like, distance from this organization, I think, is doing Mike Vrabel some good. Like, I think people are, even if you were of the belief at the end of last season, I'm like, wow, Vrabel, last 2 years there didn't go so well. Now you're looking at what they trotted out there this year, and you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe Vrabel wasn't exactly the problem with this group. Robinson, I do think it is different. I'm just saying, like, there's still a lot of good to point to with Robinson in the first part of his tenure. And one thing that is mystifying about this league is the way that general managers who have been somewhere before and had, like, moderate levels of success, they don't often get another job, right? Like, they don't often go get another general manager job, which is weird, but that's kind of the way it's been in the NFL. I wonder if that starts to change, and could Robinson be a beneficiary of that? Like, did Robinson do enough good things here to get that second opportunity? Because I mean, he's basically been out of football the last 2 years. That's another part of this, too. When we talked about that, is like, how long can you stay out of it before people just kind of forget about you in that cycle?
Yeah. Well, and
at least he's getting an interview.
The thing with Robinson is, like, if I'm looking at hiring him, yeah, the A.J. Brown trade was disastrous, and that cost him his job more than anything. Someone out here is trying to say Amy traded A.J. Brown, not Robinson. That's not accurate. I mean, look, again, all these decisions, the owner doesn't find out, oh, on Twitter, wait, you guys traded A.J.?
Yeah.
She's in the break room getting coffee on draft night. I mean.
Kind of felt like Vrabel found out that way, but yeah. Based on his video reaction.
Well, I think he didn't think it was actually going to happen. but my bigger concern if I'm hiring Robinson is, man, at this point in your tenure, it's really good. And then in the last half, the drafting got real bad.
Yep.
Why? Why is that? What happened in your process? Because the COVID thing is one thing, and that was the Isaiah Wilson draft, but that's one draft. What happened after that? You know, I guess it kind of affected the 21 draft too. But you know, I mean, so let's
take 2022.
So let's take a guy with incredible injury history.
Yeah.
Ed says, go get Joe Douglas. Excellent drafts, essentially forced into Aaron Rodgers. Run out of town, deserves a second chance. So how about that?
Well,
swap Joe Douglas here and J-Rob with the Jets. There you go.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But to that point, like, we talked about this when Joe Douglas got fired. Go look at his drafts. They're pretty darn good. Like, now,
yes,
granted, they've been picking high a lot, so you ought to hit on some high draft picks at that point. But, like, the roster that he built was pretty good. And we know what the results have been. And ultimately, it's a results-based business. So, I mean, nothing that they did was good enough. I also give people, when you've been at that place, the New York Jets, I think we got to start grading that on a curve a little bit. Like, look at Sam Darnold, another good example of that, Geno Smith.
But how much of the dysfunction, he was part of it in some way, hired the coach. So, like,
but it all starts with ownership. That's where everything starts
for sure.
This league.
Yep, and obviously they got issues.
They do. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Cam to the program. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, so on the subject of continuity, I seen this. I don't remember if it was on XM Radio or Facebook, but is it really continuity, or is it the fact that she owes so much money to previous coaches, previous general managers, that shaking it up again would just put her further down in debt as far as what she owes? She had the extension with John Robinson,
yep,
Mike Vrabel. I mean, is it continuity, or is it, my God, because She doesn't like to spend money anyways. And now, and I understand this doesn't necessarily go against the cap or anything, which, according to certain people on this radio station, doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, that's stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be manipulated, but it's very real. But at the end of the day, is it continuity or is it, my God, I don't want to pay another general manager, another head coach, or another whatever Chad Brinker's position is?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, good call.
Thanks, no, for Gary. Sure. We've talked about it, and of course that has to be factored into this. So, let's add to the list of my payroll of people who are out spending that money on the beach because they're not doing any work for me.
John Robinson gets hired, and Vrabel gets hired. You're good this offseason. That's
true.
You don't have to pay me more.
No, she's like, go Jets, go. J-E-T-S.
Call me as a reference.
There you go. This person is assuring me that Amy told this person she traded. It was her. It was all her call on.
Okay.
I know the back and forth on J-Rob and all that stuff with the agent, and so that's not true. But I love the idea that actually she fired him, she fired him after that Philly game because she was like, you should have traded him earlier. I wanted him out of here. Look at that guy, what he's doing to us.
John, those Philly fans were being mean to me, yelling at me in the owner's box, you're fired.
But good job trading AJ, which I actually did.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 745. John Glennon will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Levis, the quarterback position for the Titans, all that ahead. Coming up next, big one on Saturday between Tennessee and Ohio State in the college football playoff. We'll begin to break that down. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The college football playoff underway this weekend. We'll get started Friday night, little Indiana-Notre Dame, which Joe Rex Road has the honor of witnessing in person.
I'll be there. Oh, I miss that stadium.
I bet you do.
Can't wait to see it again.
Bet you do. Tennessee taking on Ohio State Saturday night in the nightcap of the college football playoff in Columbus, Ohio. Don't know if you know this or not. Going to be cold. And Columbus, Ohio. A lot of talking about that heading into this game on Saturday night.
Unlike tropical Knoxville.
Yes, Knoxville, just an absolute Caribbean paradise this time of year. So, on paper, I think Ohio State about a touchdown favorite in this game. Obviously, they're at home. Now, it is going to be interesting to see. Like, apparently, it's a home game, but the college football playoff is, like, in charge of some of this. So, there's going to be some, like, Tennessee gets, like, a hype video coming out. Running onto the field, and then Ohio State does, and it's just kind of weird that way. Tennessee fans apparently buying up a lot of tickets for this one as well, so also interested to see what exactly the crowd breakdown looks like and how many Tennessee fans actually find their way into the horseshoe coming up on Saturday night. But what do you make, just your general thoughts heading into this matchup for Tennessee and Ohio State? Obviously, the stakes are high for both teams. Probably a little bit higher for Ohio State, given everything surrounding them in their program at this moment. But your thoughts on the matchup for Tennessee heading into the shoe on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, I'm most excited about this game of the four. And, first of all, the fan thing is fascinating. It's been everything you hoped on the Vol Twitter, Buckeye Twitter, whatever they call their Twitter. I mean, the Buckeye, they got some real goofballs too, man. The Buckeyes, man. Oh, my goodness. So it's a great meeting of the minds on social media there.
It really is.
And I just – there are indications here. In fact, I saw like Trey Wallace did something. I saw a tweet he had about like just basically the amount of tickets bought from states. And it said like – just from the state of Tennessee, 37% of the tickets. And from the state of Ohio, 34% of the tickets?
Huh? That's weird.
I don't know. Obviously, there's been some Vols fans who fooled some Ohio State fans getting their tickets from them and things like that. But, I mean, I can't wait to see what that looks like. And then the game itself, I look at it's a huge difference psychologically. I feel like the Buckeyes, it's like if the Buckeyes can win a national championship, well, all right then. We feel okay about you, Ryan Day. Yeah, good job. Okay. I mean,
anything like, short of that, they're like, get him out.
Yeah, I mean, like there's so much pressure and so much. I mean, that loss to Michigan is probably the worst loss in that rivalry's history for either side. Like now, the difference being, luckily for Ohio State, there's a 12-team playoff.
Yep.
So they get to still play. I mean, if it was the old way, that also knocks them out. And, I mean, tell you what, that's all they'd be talking about is firing Ryan Day right now. Yeah. That's all they'd be talking about.
Back in better times.
So so then you flip it to the Vols, and I'm not saying Tennessee fans are going to be happy if they go out there and poop their pants and get beat by 17 points in this game, but it's a successful season. I don't know how you could say otherwise. It's a rising program. I think there's still a lot of hope that Nico, who I think has shown growth through the year, could turn into something special. And recruiting's going great. So, I mean, it's like, I mean, it's not gravy, but it's very much, I think, a kind of just go out and see what you can do.
Yep.
Without a ton of pressure on anybody. That's hard to find even throughout this playoff. I mean, look at like a James Franklin, and you know, if he loses at home to SMU, and it's not going to be pretty. Texas lose at home to freaking Dabo. Not going to be pretty, right?
Yep.
I think Tennessee has a real chance to win this game.
I think they do too. Like, Tennessee is not as talented as Ohio State is. I don't think anybody would confuse that. I will say, though, they do have either an advantage or close to a wash in a lot of important categories on paper heading into this. Like, their defensive line, if their defensive line plays up to what they've looked like for the most part this year, has a chance to really wreck this game on Saturday. Now, having said that, you know, Tennessee's defensive line, of the laundry list of things that went wrong for them in Georgia in the second half, their defensive line was a no-show. They did not affect the game at all, getting after Carson Beck in that game on the road. And I understand that the last time we saw this team play, they won a quote-unquote road game to get into the college football playoff and did so in pretty impressive fashion. Now, it was Vanderbilt. There are a lot of Tennessee fans in there. Could be a lot of Tennessee fans in the shoe on Saturday night as well. But I still think the overall point remains of, like, if you're Josh Heupel and this staff, they have yet to go on the road and beat a really, really good team in a hostile environment. So can you do that on Saturday night? It's different. It's the college football playoff. Again, I mean, I just found that Trey Wallace tweet. You know, he's talking to people from StubHub, and Tennessee fans have bought 37% of the tickets sold for the game.
People from Tennessee. From Tennessee. So you don't know that it's right. Tennessee fans, but.
But 34% from Ohio. So either way, regardless of if it's 15,000 or if it's 40,000, there are going to be a lot of Tennessee fans in there on Saturday. There's still going to be a lot of Ohio State fans in there too. But can you go on the road in a hostile environment and win a game? But I like Tennessee's defensive front in this game. I think the cold weather actually kind of plays into Tennessee. They're going to want to run the ball, and Tennessee has been great at running the ball all year. So can you run it against this group? And this is one game where a part of their game that they started to get to in Vanderbilt that they've really not done a ton of this year, tempo. Like, I think this is a game where you got to utilize that if you're the Vols. And Ryan Day was talking about that, like trying to deal with that the other day at his press conference. And one part he brought up was, like, it's one thing to practice it. It's another thing in the game when you're seeing it. And you got to be ready for that. Tennessee's really – I mean, they've gone fast. They've not been at, like, that hypersonic speed that they were with Hendon Hooker all year long.
Yeah. And I don't know – yeah, like, that team so often was so fast. And I don't know that this team has that. I mean, I think
it looked more like it against Vanderbilt. They had flashes of it against Vanderbilt. But to your point, it's not been a thing for most of this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think the more you can do that, and that's one of the most difficult things about playing them, you know, to me, when they really get it rolling. And, you know, look, I mean, the Buckeyes have – I mean, the Buckeyes, it's kind of like Georgia in a way in terms of – I don't think that they're afraid of Tennessee's receivers, and I think that with what they have in the back end, they got pros, you know, in that secondary. I think they're going to press and be physical and play a lot of man, and that's opportunity. But also, I mean, that's as we've seen with Georgia, like they've been able to just have the physical advantage in too many spots to kind of neutralize that offense. I keep coming back. And with the weather, too, I think we may be looking at a classic, you know, grinder of a
yep.
game.
But
that's okay. Tennessee can still win that game.
Well, but here's what I'll say. Like, even against Georgia, you've had a couple opportunities this year to hit on some passes that sometimes you've hit on and sometimes you missed. This is a game where when you get those one-on-one chances, and particularly when you get open down the field on those chances, you got to connect
right.
in these games.
You do.
Have to.
Yeah, and you know, and it's like, and the, yeah, and they will absolutely, there will be some possible shots, you know, who can complete that. To me, it's still like Dante Thornton is a guy who,
yeah.
you know, you gotta make the pass, he's got to make the play. But
and it looks like they're going to be completely there. Healthy, by the way, heading into this. Now, yeah. they've lost some, you know, supplementary pieces in the portal. Like Nimrod's gone, you know, Caleb Webb's gone. Those guys didn't play a lot anyway, so I don't know how much it's going to affect this game. But they have lost some pieces in the portal there. And then, you know, quickly, Joe, on the other side of this, a lot of pressure on Will Howard in this game, Ohio State quarterback. Like, can he come through and deliver on some plays that will be there and available with this wide receiving core at Ohio State, which is really, really good? They're going to have some opportunities to hit some shots, too, in this game. Can Will Howard do it?
Yeah. And if he doesn't, you know, that's where it all gets in the Buckeye fans selling their tickets, not happy. If he doesn't do it, they're going to sit there and it's like, so Ryan Day traded in Kyle McCord for this guy. What are you doing, man?
Yep.
So there's a lot of – they can flip on – that stadium could flip on the Buckeyes Saturday. And then with the 30,000, 40,000 Vols fans will also – I mean, it's going to be an interesting scene.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Did you just re-mute me?
No, Keezer's in there minding his own business.
I guess I must have double.
You turned into
my
PK,
button.
Just taking some shots at him.
You'll take
shots at my producer, isn't that right, Keezer?
Nick is a more, he's like a more charismatic guy.
They know some weak rant is coming.
Three idiots in the front office are like coked up. Like, what kind of buzz are we talking about?
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Thanks. Today's rant, I'd actually like to make an announcement to the people. For all of those who haven't heard, an announcement and a congratulations for those of you who have not heard. Jared Stillman and his girlfriend Lindsay have welcomed Jackson Reese Stillman to the world.
Yes.
Congratulations. Now, granted, this announcement comes a few days after young Jackson started preschool. My sources tell me he's big on finger painting and Gerber Puffs and Goldfish and Tennessee Titans football. I mean, seriously, how freaking long do we have to wait while we all know that you've had a kid for weeks and we can say it to the world? I mean, my baby gift to you is a razor and shaving cream for the kid, okay? How old was the kid before you told everybody? All right, but seriously.
Is he draft eligible next year for the Titans?
Yeah, it'll be Arch and Jackson. Arch thrown to Jackson, Titans, new stadium. It's going to be amazing.
But, Jackson playing right tackle.
But seriously, congrats. I know Sally Reese. Sally was at a Christmas party with my wife, actually. I know very – talked a lot about how touchy it was about Floyd being remembered like that, of course, the middle name Reese. That's a big deal. And also Jackson, great name. That's my oldest first name. And for as much crap as I give Jared, you know, I do think he'll be a great dad. And I think it probably, Robbie, what's going to happen here is, like, you know how a lot of things skip generations?
Yeah.
It'll probably be hot taking. I've talked to Jared's dad, who, you believe me or not, I mean, he said, please give him more crap. Give him more crap. His dad is a very level-headed fan.
Oh, his dad's awesome.
And I think young Jackson is going to be the most level-headed, calm, reasoning, non-conspiracy theorizing Titans fan in Nashville.
I'm slow to speak.
Here for it. Right. You know, well, let's get a little bit more information. I'm not sure yet. You know, it's not nice to say that people suck if they make one mistake, et cetera, et cetera. I'm here for it. It's going to be fun. And I think to me, well, we are all going on a journey now with, you know, you're on the journey. You're into your journey as a dad. So you can give him some good, fresh advice. And now we get to kind of see Jared on this journey.
I'm interested to see how much this softens him up a little bit.
I think it could happen.
I think it could happen. I'm with you. Like, A lot of times these things do skip a generation, so Jackson could very well grow up to be just, you know, is right tackle really that important? Do we really care about right tackle that much? This is what Jackson could say one day.
That's an interesting story, but I don't think we need to tell that story anymore.
I think Rand Carthon should get a couple more years. I think Titans should be really patient.
How about a contract extension for them, perhaps?
No, it's really cool. I'm excited for Jared. I'm excited for just this journey that he and Lindsay are embarking on. It's cool to see. We've had some conversations about fatherhood and these things, and just it's really nice to see. Contrary to popular belief, we actually are friends with Jared, which I feel like I have to answer a question about like every week. It's like, so you and Joe, like, y'all just fight Jared all the time. Y'all hate Jared. I'm like, no, we're friends. Believe it or not, Joe and Jared actually like each other. Even though,
so you hate him, right?
Most of the on-air appearances would suggest otherwise.
I got some good texts here. Hate to break it to you, Joe, but Jackson's first word was, "The cap is fake." Someone says, "I hope he grows up to be a Ravens fan." Trevor says that. This one says, "Can't wait for him to come out and scream. The preschool football coach needs to be fired, and the principal doesn't know what they're doing." Oh, Dylan!
Get him out!
Dylan says, "I hope PK is listening to this. Not a rant. I ranted about how long it took us to be able to tell everybody Jared had a kid. That is a rant. Okay."
That I hope counts. PK is listening to this, because the more that PK gets after you about your rants, I think it's good stuff. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, whatever, man. Bring it on, PK.
Do you want me to rant tomorrow to save you from his ire?
No, I that's my thing now, is going to be when he comes in, I'm going to do a very non-rant rant right in his face, and he can sit there and take it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from the Nashville Post. Get his thoughts on the Titans, the impending quarterback decision for Brian Callahan this week as well. We'll get to that with Glennon coming up next. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal. Your chance for autographs and pictures as well. The guests tomorrow will be Adam Wilsby and Kevin Gravel. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.